Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet, starring the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
It's a great day, and I am very enthused, you know, life enthusiast, what else would I be, about introducing, or bringing back, I should say, Kelly DeSante, the CEO of a company known as Life Science, but really well known for their product, Body Biotics. Body Biotics is, in my opinion, the most complete, potent, effective restoration system for the health of the digestive tract. But hey, let's get Kelly, the person who really has the knowledge and experience to explain things well. Kelly DeSante, are you there?
Good morning. I'm here, and thank you for having me back again.
Awesome.
We're stepping over each other.
We are. I'll let you go, Martin.
We're excited to have you here because I've been wanting to get to explain to people why some probiotics are just not as good as the marketing or merchandising copy would suggest. So let me ask it this way. Are all probiotics equal?
Not even close. and especially not when they have really big numbers that they call CFUs posted all over them. Those you have to be really cautious about.
What is a CFU?
A CFU is a colony-forming unit. So some years ago, because some people wanted to have some marketing skill or some comment or some way of identifying, oh, our probiotic is better, they came up with identifying how many colony-forming units of the microbes were in their product. And it was really funny because years ago, when that CFU term came out, it was pretty much a marketing ploy as much as anything else. When it came out, at that time, you only saw maybe a billion or 2 billion, or sometimes you'd see 5 billion. And now I notice people got 15 billion and 20 billion, you know. And of course, as human beings, we always think more is better. But in the case of probiotics, more has absolutely nothing to do with efficacy, especially when you're qualifying it as a CFU. It just simply has absolutely nothing to do with the efficacy of a probiotic. And we'll get into what does have something to do with the efficacy in just a moment.
So Kelly, the CFUs, when do they actually measure those? Like, how do you know when those 18 billion are present or available?
Those are measured typically at the time they are extracted and freeze-dried from whatever culture medium that they've used, or they're identified at the point of manufacturing. If people will look very closely on the label, it will say, 10 billion CFUs, and somewhere in the small print, it will say CFUs based on manufacturing date or at time of extraction or some words like that. It will identify when they were quantified. And according to Professor Lee Dexter, as well as Dr. Peter Rothschild, who have done extensive research on probiotics, the moment that a microbe is taken from its food source, the very moment is taken out of that culture, whatever method you use to do that, it is alive and dying, okay? And at best, a probiotic that has been removed from its food source, according to both Rothschild and Professor Dexter, who are leading authorities in this industry, according to them, at best, those products will live a few days or possibly up to 6 months. And of course, you guys have probably noticed that a lot of the companies, because the consumers are becoming aware that the viability is important. Now, the next stage that these people, the competitors, have come up with is, something called terracotting. Oh, we terracote it to protect it, and you know, so that it gets delivered through the acids, et cetera, et cetera. So terracotting is the next kind of little marketing comment that's being made to create viability for their product, or to substantiate the viability of their product.
Well, what you're saying really sounds like common sense. I mean, if you took a human being and you removed him or her from food for 6 months, they would be definitely dying and dead. And why yeah. would it be any different for another living organism?
That's, you know, that's exactly the perfect explanation. Because, and I think people don't think of it in that term. These are absolutely living organisms. Our intestinal tract is made up of millions and millions of them, good and bad. And the balance of the good and bad is what gives us our vibrance or not. And so these living organisms, they do you absolutely no good if they're not able to reconstitute, to literally have a living communication within the gut with all the various different other microbes that are there, so that the good guys went out. The whole, it's a battle. It's truly actually a battle in the gut, you know, that goes on down there. And so you're exactly right. If they're not alive, then they're not thriving and they're not doing their job.
Okay, so I always go to this place whenever Martin and I are discussing stuff. And because to me, I'm living a life and it's normal, okay? Whatever it is, right? I get home from work, I'm tired. I get home from work, I go for a run. I get up, I'm bright-eyed and cheery-tailed. I get up and I'm dragging my butt until I have a coffee. Like, whatever it is that we're doing, this is normal, right? So, but it doesn't mean that I'm living a life full of vitality. It doesn't mean I'm living at the optimum level. It just means that it's normal. But it's right. But it's what I'm used to. So my question now is, okay, I can assume that my gut is full of the bad guys because, you know, all my life I've had antibiotics and stuff like that, and I've been drinking coffee and drinking beer and eating white bread and doing all these things that is normal in our general society, okay? And yeah. So I have this life that's whatever it is, and, you know, chances are 50-50 I'm going to have cancer and all the rest of those good things. So now that I've painted a picture of normal, now what I would want to do is I want to take my gut now and I want to replace it with a gut that is full of all these good critters that you're going to stick in there, and the bad critters are basically gone, or you know, they're at a level where they're not making the problems that they're making right now, which I think are normal. So can you now paint a picture of what the difference would be?
Okay, prior to the poisoning of our foods, when they started using chemicals, pesticides and herbicides, we had, quote unquote, a fairly normal balance prior to that and prior to antibiotics. The body had a fairly normal balance, and a normal balance of, you have to have unfriendly in the gut, because it's the unfriendly that sort of challenge the immune system and combat with the friendly bacteria that keeps you alive and vibrant and on that sharper edge. But prior to like the late 1950s, mid 1960s, our ratio of friendly versus unfriendly was more like 70% friendly and 30% unfriendly. So somewhere in that range of numbers would have been a healthy balance. So now here we are, fast forward to 2011, with not just the poisons in our food, but the poisons in our water, the air we breathe. I mean, everything we touch these days compromises our immune system. The carpet on our floor, the dyes in our fabrics, I mean, you name it, and we're being bombarded with every kind of, you know, chemical or environmental condition that only leads to even more issues. And just like the friendly bacteria that we want to keep alive and thriving, those unfriendlies, they're looking to be alive and thriving as well. And so things like craving chocolates or craving sweets, craving breads, any of those cravings that are negative kind of things for the gut, that is an indication of an overabundance of the unfriendlies. And I know this specifically because when I first got on Bodybiotics, almost 17 years ago now, when I first got on the product, like I said in my previous recording, I mean, my gut was a mess. And I had all kind of environmental allergies, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a doctor that used the Bodybiotics, and I went to see him, and he recommended that I do like a green food diet. And it was the hardest thing for me to do. I mean, he almost cut, you know, like I could eat 3 ounces of meat a day, and I'm a big meat eater, you know, and growing up on the farm. And so I was very diligent, though, because I wanted to see some reversal, and I really wanted to support the probiotic, and I wanted to get my health in good shape. And so I went on this diet, and one of the things was that I needed to eat spinach every day.
Oh,
and I wasn't a big spinach eater, but I did what I was supposed to do. And it was really funny because after about 3 weeks on this diet, I was traveling, and this is the truth. My body was so craving spinach that I left 4 restaurants until finally I went to the 5th restaurant before I could find a spinach salad.
Wow.
And so that was a strong indication of how I had overcome a major portion of the unfriendlies, and that my friendly guys were winning out, you know.
So you exchanged an addiction for chocolate to an addiction for spinach.
Is that kind of weird?
I never heard of that before. That's great.
But it was really, it's so true. And you know, your body really will tell you what it needs. If you pay attention, no matter what's going on in your body, it's kind of interesting. Because one time years ago, I had some kind of, issue going on. And I was really craving asparagus. I mean, I really wanted asparagus, like fairly regularly, like almost every day. And a few months later, I was reading something, some holistic thing that was saying, if you have da 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 da, whatever the condition was, you know, your body really needs asparagus. And I thought, wow, man, it really does talk to us. But it'll talk to us for the good stuff and for the bad stuff.
Yes.
Because if you've trained it up to crave the breads and the chocolates and the yeast and the various, you know, products, the wheat products, et cetera, it clearly will challenge you to flip that upside down the other way.
Right. So,
hey, Scott, just one sec.
Sure.
We left the channel open without closing it. I just can't stand these hanging participles. We started Kelly on explaining what the alive but dying probiotics are, but we did not explain what it is that we actually serve up. We serve up alive and dormant, ready to spring to action. The body biotics is different, and it's different because it's sort of as different as a hibernating bear who had enough fatty reserves, and when he wakes up at the right condition, because the temperature goes up and the sun starts shining, the bear goes out and he's full of energy. And we need to actually explain how the body biotics are not easily measured in these FUs, and how they actually do what they do.
Well, that's a great point, Martin. And let me bring it back maybe to a focal point. When I was speaking with Professor Dexter, when we were putting together the structure function FDA submission, I discovered from her input that there's 72 culture banks in the world that culture probiotics. And they culture some 5,000 subspecies that go out to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of manufacturers around the world. And how she explained it was that there's 4 types of probiotics. The first is simply non-viable. It's got maybe a 4 or 5 day shelf life. It simply can do nothing. The second is freeze dried, and freeze dried has been cultured and then extracted from the culture and freeze-dried. It has no heat sustainability. It has a very short shelf life. She said approximately 6 months under the most ideal conditions. Now, what consumers need to realize is that probably 90% of all probiotics, at least 90% of all probiotics on the market today fall into category one or two, non-viable or freeze-dried forms. The third form, which I found maybe two products that I've stumbled across that actually do the third product or the third form, is a fermentation. And now fermentation is kind of getting closer to the best, okay? But fermentation still produces low potency and only a shelf life of maybe 4 or 5 months, same as freeze-dried. Then the fourth and the most viable type of probiotic is what she called a viable primary consortia of cultures, which is what we have. We have a primary consortia of cultures. So now let me explain what that means, because that's where we really want to land, is what is that? Well, you know, how is our little 1% compared to the 99% out there? How are we different? And the best explanation that I can offer, really, and I think the consumer will get a really clear picture, is this. When you have a pond in your backyard, and if you don't put some kind of a algae control chemical in it, you're going to have algae growing everywhere, right? Right, guys?
Yeah,
will. Okay. So but what happens to that algae when the pond dries up, like where I'm here in Texas, and, you know, we've had no rain for 9 months. And, of course, as you guys know, it's dry as a bone here. What happens when that pond dries up?
Well, the algae kind of turns a different color and just sort of hangs there. But it's definitely not growing.
No, but what is it? It's dormant.
Yeah, because it's not really dead.
It's not dead. That's right. In nature, these living organisms, they're not dead. Our probiotic, our soil-based organisms, have lived in nature for billions and billions and billions of years. They can survive any and all conditions, because when there's a stressful situation or an unfriendly environmental situation, they go dormant. But the minute the terrain changes, the minute the environment changes that's friendly toward them, they thrive and they come alive and they multiply and they go to work. Okay? So that's what we have done with Bodybiotics, is we have taken a consortia. Consortia means several grown together, several that have been kept in their natural habitat, so to speak, that have been cultured, nurtured, trained. They cohabitated together and learned exactly how to coexist one with the other. And instead of taking them out of their food source, which is for us, which is a humic and fulvic acid, which are natural food sources for them, we take the whole batch. We culture it and we take the whole batch and we encapsulate it. So we encapsulate the living probiotics dormant in their stage. And instead of freeze drying them, basically we dehydrate them. We let them naturally dehydrate, just like a pond where the water dries up. So then it becomes a powder.
So this is... There's no pasteurization or anything going on here, because that's a nice topic that Martin and I like to hit on every once in a while, about people talking about stuff that's raw and living and flash pasteurized and how it actually kills all the enzymes and all the good stuff and everything. So there's nothing like that going on here.
Nothing, nothing, nothing. We've taken from the core of the earth humic fulvic acids. We've impregnated that humic fulvic acid with these wonderful, non-toxic, safe, viable strains of probiotics. We've put them in a particular order so that they've learned what their job is, and that they learn to cohabitate together. They learn to signal each other so that when they get into the body, they can signal the body these particular different communications that naturally go on, you know, in the earth itself. Okay. Just like you have a beautiful organic farm that is teeming with friendly bacteria, and your fruits and vegetables are so delicious. They have wonderful flavors and they're just beautiful. Well, when you keep that consortia healthy and thriving and in its natural food source, that's the kind of delivery that it can have in the body. It can sort of help our inner garden grow, if you will, you know, to where
we love that.
That's the first time I've ever said that. But where we're teeming with all of the good bacteria, and we're producing the best fruit of our body, the best fruit that can be derived from all that is good with us.
You know, it sounds to me a lot like you're describing a football game. Instead of having just a quarterback on the field, you actually have the whole team, and you work them, and you know, you have your offensive team and defensive team and the coaches and the guys who cut the grass and the guys who wash the laundry. It works.
Yeah, or the Navy SEALs.
Okay, or if you like that, yes.
But now the football team's good, you know. It's just you can use the military example or the football example, any of those, but that's exactly right. If you were to go to the streets of New York City and grab, you know, 20 of the or however many's on the football team, I'm not into football too much, but if you were to grab however many team members you needed to go and compete with the leading NFL Super Bowl winners, and you toss them into a field, and you said, "Okay, guys, go at it." Well, so they're big, they're, you know, muscular, they're whatever, but they have no clue how to communicate with each other. Nobody knows what their job is. They don't know, you know, how to pass the ball. They don't know when it's their turn and when it's someone else's turn. Versus the NFL team, who have been honed in on all of the best skills, and they put their best foot forward, and they go to work, and they know when to pass the ball off and when to, you know, kick it and when to do whatever they do, you know. And that's exactly the difference, because most of these freeze-dried products are they're cultured one strain at a time. And then they freeze dry this strain, and they're all put into a vat, right? And we go, oh, I want this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. Now toss them all in one vat, and let's go and see if we can have a football team.
Right.
Good luck.
Yeah, yeah. Just throw them all together, spick them in there, and then you realize too late you're missing a running back and a wide receiver.
Oh, you bet.
So, Kelly, here's a really interesting point. I have seen on television all this fancy advertising for yogurts that have been fortified with one and sometimes even two strains of probiotics. And they show this lovely ad where the belly is doing the belly dance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
And so there is this beautifully activated yogurt. And so how would that compare with what you would deliver?
Well, I think the consumer said it all when they've won two class action suits and been paid more than $400 million out in class actions for false claims.
Hmm. Awesome. So let's talk people. I'm always curious to hear some of the success stories that Martin comes up with, and I'm just curious to hear of some of the stories you've heard from people that have used the probiotics.
Wow.
There's the most famous one out there, of course. The famous Jordan Rubin. He has become a millionaire thanks to the product that Kelly has to offer here.
Yes.
I know. You know the story better than I do. Do you want to give it a go?
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, you know, 17 years ago when Life Science Products became a company, shortly thereafter, maybe 8 months or 6 months or something, early 96 is my memory on that. I had an opportunity to meet Jordan Rubin face to face, and this was when Jordan was that little 104 pounds or whatever it was, skinny, looked like, honestly like he wasn't going to make it through the week. He really looked like he was on death's door. It was quite frightening. And so we chatted because he actually had come to a meeting where we were explaining the product, and we had a doctor there showing some slides from some blood tests that he had taken, showing the difference before and after and so forth. And then I didn't hear too much about Ruben until maybe about 8 months later. I was at another meeting, and there he was. And so when I passed, I walked right by him because, quite frankly, I didn't recognize him. and so when I passed by, he said, "Kelly, aren't you going to speak to me?" And I thought, "Oh, do I know you?" And he said, "It's Jordan." And oh my God, I almost fell out of my chair. I mean, I couldn't believe the difference. It must have been about 9 months, I think, actually, now that I'm remembering. Honest to goodness, he had gained weight. He looked like a healthy, vibrant, amazing young man. And I just couldn't believe it. So Jordan was a customer of Body Biotics in between 1996 and at least 2000 or 2001. And in 1997, Dr. Morton Walker actually did a 5-page interview with him that was published in the Townsend Newsletters for Doctors and Patients. And he tells a story about how Body Biotics saved his life. And in that article were the before and after pictures. You know, you can go on and type Jordan Ruben before and after. The book before was in 1996 when I met him. The after was in 1997 when the article was actually published. And so his recovery from Crohn's disease, actually, he attributes directly to his introduction to Body Biotics and his consuming many, many, like 20 capsules a day for a number of months there. And then in, I believe it was 2001, he started his own product called Primal Defense. And at that time, they took the original article, rewrote the article, used their same pictures, and introduced Primal Defense.
So just to let everybody know, because I just looked Jordan up, I'd never heard of him. He had basically a normal childhood in terms of his health, but when he was 19, he was going to Florida State University, and he was experiencing nausea, digestive distress, alarming weight loss. He lost more than 80 pounds, and he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease.
Right.
He was wheelchair bound and 104 pounds, and one doctor basically said it's the worst case of Crohn's he had ever seen, and this guy is going to die. And it wasn't like, you know, he was just some guy that was like, you know, feeling a little bit sick. He was at death's door, and a 19-year-old at 104 pounds guy. Oh my goodness, that would have been awful.
Right, right. Yeah, no.
So anyway, the fun part about all of this is that indeed he got well, and because he couldn't make a successful deal with the company selling Body Biotics, he decided to make his own knockoff, and he did, and successfully turned it into a multi-million dollar company called Garden of Life.
Yes, he did. And he sold that company, I think it was in July of this year, 2011.
Right, yeah. I'm sure that Garden of Life is going to be nothing like what it was when Jordan and his dad were at the helm of it. I don't want to make any bad prognostications, but when the spreadsheet guys show up, usually the heart of the company is removed surgically.
Well, Jordan was clearly passionate about probiotics. There's no question about that, and his passion and his healing, I think, led him to try to do a lot of good things around the probiotics.
Yeah, he just came out with a new book called The Raw Truth. So
Jordan has moved on. He's now. I saw his name associated with a network marketing company. I saw a whole bunch of podcasts and lectures and all of that. So he's moved on. He's not associated with the company anymore. And that's all fine. That's a business thing. I just wanted to highlight it as a story of complete turnaround. that is in public, so visible that you cannot miss it.
Exactly. And yes, Martin, you know that any of your listeners, of course, can request that special report, because we have the rights to share the 1997 Townsend article. So any of your listeners that want to send you an email, call, however they communicate with you, you've got that available to you for them to read for themselves exactly what Jordan Rubin had to say about our product.
Awesome. And that sounds like a really great segue, Martin, to what I normally say at this time in our show, which is, if somebody wanted to get this report and find out more about probiotics, what should they do?
Well, they can read about life science, body biotics, at life-enthusiast.com. We even have a link on the podcast to the pictures of Jordan Rubin from back when he was terrible and gotten better. And then if that's not sufficient, please call us at 1-866-543-3388. And let us help you. We are Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you, Kelly. I'll bet we'll have you back. Thank you, everyone, for listening.